Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Out in Santa Clara, California, 9-1 against 8-2. It promises to be biggest game of the year in the NFC. To talk about it, our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline now as Insider Calls brought to you by Indeed.com. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. You can catch Ross each weekday on Home and Home, his new show on the Radio.com app, /home, or just search home on the Radio.com app. Ross, thanks for joining us again, man. Good hearing from you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Can I start by asking you guys a question, actually?
Well, fire away, dude.
Come on, Ross.
I'm very curious. Okay, so number one, is there anybody in Milwaukee that's not a Packers fan? Meaning, are there any Bears fans
Definitely.
In Milwaukee or not at all?
Definitely Bears fans, few Vikings, but a lot of the colleges, especially the private ones around this area, get a lot of people from the Illinois suburbs for sure.
Well, let's just start with our co-host here, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
That's right, Colts.
Yeah, he's a Colts fan.
Yeah, but I meant, because I know, like, right over the border in Wisconsin, a lot of those people are Bears fans.
For
I was
sure.
just curious. And then the follow-up question to that is there any difference in the level of fandom for the Packers because they are in Green Bay as opposed to Milwaukee like the Bucks and the Brewers? Like, do you think people would be even more into the Packers if it were the Milwaukee Packers, or is that just not even possible?
Oh, no, that's not even – well, it's statewide, Ross. I mean, the fandom is equal across the state of Wisconsin.
So it makes no difference that the team is located in Green Bay as opposed to Milwaukee. They are – everybody is totally all in, diehard. And if they were in Milwaukee, it wouldn't up the ante at all in your guys' mind.
No, not at all. I mean, because
you used to play games in Milwaukee.
We used to play games here in Milwaukee a while back, and then they ended it. But now they have season tickets for Milwaukee season ticket holders only. So they get, what, two games?
So you went from, like, they used to play three games down here at County Stadium, and now it's two games. Those old season ticket holders get at Lambeau Field. So it definitely does keep the crop of fans going.
Yeah, I was just always curious because obviously it's the Milwaukee Brewers, it's the Milwaukee Bucks. They're right there in the city, and Green Bay is, what is it, like 2 hours, something like that?
About two hours.
2 hours, yeah.
From you guys, I've done that drive a couple times flying into Milwaukee, and I just didn't know if you guys felt like, man, if it were the Milwaukee, like it's already crazy, but if it were the Milwaukee Packers, it would be even crazier.
Well, yeah, think about the Green Bay Packers. They were the first, I believe, professional team here, the Packers. So before, what was it before? Were we the
Way
Milwaukee
before the Braves?
Braves?
Yeah, before the Braves.
And before the Bucks. Mm-hmm. So that they were the only thing in town for a long time.
Got it. All right. I was just curious. We always talk Packers, well, obviously. And I know you guys are diehards, and I know everybody in Wisconsin is diehards. But, you know, it's such a unique situation with the NFL team being 2 hours away from, like, the major city. I didn't know if that had any impact at all. So I was just curious. I was always wondering.
Ross, realistically, however, and something that we take, we don't like hearing is, really, Packers are America's team. It's not Wisconsin's team. It's really America's team at the end of the day, unlike those idiots with a star on their helmet.
Well, I will say, in terms of national fan bases, in my experience, it's probably Cowboys, Packers, Steelers. I think if you're talking about, you know, I don't think anybody beats the Steelers in terms of the number of away team fans. Like when you play the Steelers, the amount of people that are Steelers fans, I think the Cowboys and Packers are probably neck and neck to be second. But I think those three teams blow away every other team. And what's crazy is the closest team I'd say now is to being fourth is probably the Eagles. And I'm from there, and I don't think it was like that like 20 years ago. But I think with their success under Andy Reid and then winning the Super Bowl a couple years ago, mm-hmm. now any Eagles game you watch on TV, it seems like at least 20% of the fans on the away games are Eagles fans, but they're still behind the Packers, Steelers, and the Cowboys. I think the Raiders might be up there a little bit as well, but yeah, Packers way, way up there.
Well, and I mean, too, we like to say it this way. You can say America's team, Wisconsin's team. Really, the only one with a G on the helmet, it's God's team. We can call it that right now.
Now, you know what? You know what I think is even the better selling point? It's the people's team.
Right.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Like, it is the only team where it's actually the team. It's like America's team because it's for the people, by the people, of the people. Unlike, you know, some of these other teams where – boy, they really don't like their owners. Like, you know, I started my career and finished it with the Redskins, and they were chanting on Sunday, sell the team.
That was crazy.
Sell the team. Yeah, I mean, if the Packers did that, they'd be talking to themselves. The Packers fans were saying that.
No doubt. Hey, you know, quick question for you since we – how do you pronounce your hometown, Wyomissing? How do you pronounce that?
I'm glad you asked. It's Wyomissing.
Okay.
I think it's like an old Native American name. It's an hour west of Philly. Mm-hmm. And from 2001 to 2008, I was the most famous person ever from Wyomissing. And then a young lady kind of passed me up. You might have heard of her. Her name's Taylor Swift. She is from Wyomissing. So okay. Funny, I went to a concert a couple years ago. I know her dad. Her dad's like a big football guy. And so we get along well. And I went to one of her concerts. I was backstage talking with her dad and her mom. And I was telling that story about how, you know, for 7 years, I was NFL player from Wyomissing. Like, we graduated 130 kids in our grade. So, you know, I was the most famous. And now it was Taylor. And her mom said, well, you know, just keep working, Ross. I said, I think it's over. I think Taylor won. She's like the most famous person in the world. I don't think I'm going to catch up, but I'm going to go ahead and take an L on that one.
So would it be safe to say that you were the biggest kid in your high school?
One of them for sure. We actually have a guy in the NFL right now, though, Alex Anzalone, the linebacker for the New Orleans Saints.
I mean, your graduating class, when you graduate, were you the biggest kid in your graduating class?
Yeah, I think so. I was just about 6'5", 265, so... I mean, there might have been somebody heavier or maybe one guy taller, but if you combine the two, probably not. But you guys will love this, by the way, especially Baby Tausch. I was a real late bloomer, so, like, I stunk. I was always, like, a point guard in basketball.
Oh, come on.
So my senior year,
come on,
on a small, small high school, I brought the ball up most of the time at 6'4", 250 pounds.
That's what I like to hear.
And I had 24 three-pointers. I have the local radio guy called me the dancing bear because the other teams would, like, press us, and I would just, like, dribble around behind my back and stuff. Then the coach would tell me to go down low, and I'd get my stuff swatted by, like, 6-foot kids because I stunk down low. I had no low post moves.
Oh, come on, Ross.
I was much more comfortable draining threes.
No doubt.
And dribbling the ball around.
It's way more fun. And also, just a natural-born athlete. You got to be on the outside. You got to be on the perimeter and need the ball in your hands. True playmakers do.
You know what's funny? You guys will appreciate this. Gary, you'll appreciate this. When you ask any of my high school or college friends, like, they'll be like, wait a minute, your buddy's Ross Tucker, like the NFL guy? They always say the same thing. Well, he's 6'5", 300 pounds, and – he was the point guard on our intramural basketball team. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how they explain the athletes that end up becoming NFL players is they're real. Like, you guys would be unbelievably amazed if you went back and watched, like, Balaga or Bakhtiari's high school video and you saw how athletic they were and the plays they were able to make. Like, that's – like, the guys that make the NFL on the offensive line, they're not, like, big stiffs. I mean, Even real Tausch, not baby Tausch, mm-hmm. real Tausch, I mean, he was
he's
so light on his feet, moved so well.
Yeah, he was a basketball player.
You can't have slow feet. Slow feet don't eat.
No, you're right. And that's how he got a scholarship, though, actually. I think Auburndale went up and played at the state championship in Madison, and they saw this big kid out on the floor playing basketball. They go, oh, my God. How do we miss this guy? And I think he was a walk-on maybe, but then earned a scholarship because they thought he had great feet, and then he goes on to have a great career for the Green Bay Packers. Hey, real quick, I want to ask you because this whole big thing about Kaepernick, what's your thoughts on that?
It's a good question. You know, I think it's a very strange move by the NFL. You know, if they were trying to do him a solid, I don't know why they had to be so rigid about it and call him on a Tuesday. You have 2 hours. It's this Saturday. It's Atlanta. So if you're trying to do a guy a favor, that's a little bit weird, right, to be that sort of draconian about it. The flip side is, and you guys know this, I mean, if your top priority was to play in the NFL again, if that's what meant the most to you, then you would have signed the waiver and you would have done the workout.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, there's literally thousands of dudes, and we can name them, that would drive to Atlanta right now, sign a waiver, whatever the waiver said, and they would do the workout for the chance to get back in the NFL. So I'm not saying he should have signed it. It's his life. You know, he can do whatever he wants, but you just can't make the argument to me then that his top priority is playing in the NFL. It sounds like he wants to play, but got to be on his terms. And by the way, like, why are you that worried about a waiver that doesn't let you sue them again when you've already sued them once? It's just weird. I mean, and really, and then by the way, if your top priority is to play in the NFL, my first comment afterwards would not be Roger Goodell and the owners need to stop running and stop being so yep. scared. I probably would have said, all that other stuff's behind me. I really want to play in the NFL. That's all that matters to me. And look, he didn't want to say that, and he doesn't have to. It's his life. He makes a lot of money from Nike now, but nobody can argue to me now. There's no strong argument to make that it's vitally important to him to play in the NFL, and that's his top priority, because it's not.
Yeah, I don't think many of us disagree with anything that you said there. The other thing on this was moving the location the way he did, already having security there. It was a public high school, so you had to have done that ahead of time. And then of all the teams that showed up, only, what, seven of them actually made the hour drive to get to that location. It was almost like he was daring the NFL not to have anybody show up so he could say, well, clearly they didn't really want to come watch me anyhow.
Well, that's the thing. He knew about the waiver in the morning, and he obviously had already made the decision in the morning that he wasn't going to go there, because you don't just, like, have security at this high school and the fans show up unless, you know you're going to be there. Like, that wasn't a last-minute decision, but yet they didn't tell the people until 3 o'clock. Now, counter-argument to that would be if you're one of the 25 NFL teams and you're there and you flew into Atlanta and you got a rental car – and your flight is right next to your airport's right next to the high school, why would you not then go work them out? That's weird, too. Like, you flew to Atlanta, you got the rental car, you went to Flowery Branch where the Falcons, and you're not going to drive the hour down to watch them? Like, the whole thing is really weird. It just shows me that those teams weren't really interested, that they were just going because the NFL told them they had to go, basically.
Yeah, and they didn't want to be the one team that didn't send somebody. They wanted to make sure that they weren't the ones that everybody looked at as, you know, the odd ducks, that's for sure. Joining us now is Ross Tucker, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, host of Home and Home, Even Money. Also, You Better You Bet. You can find him on Sunday mornings helping you make some money in the NFL action here on the Wendy's Big Show. Ross, also in the NFL, before we get to this huge game on Sunday night, Myles Garrett having his appeal heard today on the suspension that was held or given to him after slamming Mason Rudolph's helmet on the top of Mason Rudolph's head. Now, Rudolph comes out and accepts a little bit of responsibility for what it was. I felt that Mason Rudolph deserved a little bit of suspension or some kind, at least of a fine, to be noted earlier. And Myles Garrett now looking that there is somewhat of a precedent with the Antonio Smith hit on Richie Incognito a few years ago. What was your take on the suspension for Myles Garrett?
Thought it was the right call. I thought he should be suspended for the rest of the year. I'm not as shocked and appalled by it, I guess, as everybody else is. LeVar Arrington actually did that to me my second year in the NFL when I was with the Redskins in practice. Thank God he missed. I've often thought about the fact that I feel like I would have died if he had actually hit me, but he missed. I'll never forget this, by the way. I knew we were going to get in a fight before the play. He was mad because I was practicing hard, but I knew I was on the bubble. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I start blocking him, LeVar starts swinging, and I'm punching him like hard and a lot in the helmet, and I feel like I'm getting the better of it. Meanwhile, he's just working and working on my helmet. He finally gets my helmet off, which I didn't think was going to happen. Next thing I know, I look at him, and he swings my helmet at my head as hard as he could. Thank God he missed. They come over, and they break up the fight. Like, they pin our arms down so that we can't swing anymore. Somehow he gets his right arm out, and he hits me with, like, a right hook to the side of my left ear. And I was like, oh, that hurt. Blood starts, like, gushing out, right? I don't know what's going on. The offensive line coach gets mad at me for losing the fight. I'm out for a play. I come back in. After practice, I walk in. I'm 23 years old. I walk in. They have to put 4 stitches in my ear because he split my ear open. That's what, like, the blood was coming from. And then they have to x-ray my hand. They thought my hand was so bruised, even with a glove on, that they thought I might have broken my hand punching his helmet as hard as I did. Thankfully, it wasn't broken. And I'll never forget driving home. I called my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, and I said, hey, hon, how was your day? She said, oh, I had the most annoying day. At lunch, Jessica said, blah, 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 whatever Jessica said at lunch. She said, how was your day? I said, well, kind of a tough day at the office. I almost died. I got stitches in my ear. I thought I broke my hand. My offensive line coach is mad at me. But tell me more about what Jessica said at lunch. I'm dying to hear it.
What a great story. Hey, listen.
By the way, Baby Tausch, I'm with you. I think Rudolph should have gotten a game. I think if Ogunjobi got a game,
right,
Rudolph should have gotten a game. Because on the ground, he was trying to rip Garrett's helmet off. And then even when Garrett got his helmet off, he ran back over there.
Right.
You know, Garrett was going to be – those two offensive linemen were gonna shut it down.
Right,
you
know what I mean? He wasn't going anywhere.
It was going to be over.
Yes.
And then Rudolph ran over there. And so I thought he should have gotten a game. My guess is the Bengals, who they play, as well as the Browns, petitioned the league to not have him suspended because they want Mason Rudolph to play against them on Sunday. He was that bad against the Browns. I mean, he was terrible in that game. I'm not sure they wanted him to be. The Steelers are probably like, please suspend him. Please suspend him for a game. He was really, really bad.
They want Ducky in the game.
Pouncey should have only gotten one game.
Yes.
I think Pouncey's an American hero for what he did.
But you know, there are some things, you know, in fighting. And I took a little heat, too, here in town. I go, you know, listen, I don't know, fighting one-on-one, I'm not running up on a guy in that setting with a helmet in his hands when I think it's already done. I got two of my best linemen in front of it. I'm not running up on that guy because you just never know. I mean, that's just fight one-on-one for me.
I only have one rule when it comes to fights, in football fights. When my helmet's off, I'm out. That's it for me. I'm good. That was fun. I'm good. I'm out. Like, I can't mess with the baby maker. You know what I mean? I can't. That's the money maker. I mean,
the baby maker.
That shows you that Rudolph has never been in a fight. Like,
yes.
Dude, that's like going into a gunfight or a knife fight without a gun or a knife. Like, what are you doing?
It's also
you're gonna take an L.
It's like, also your buddy that
showed he doesn't know what he's doing.
It's also your buddy that talks all the stuff, and then all the big guys like you and I, Ross and Gary, have to walk up, calm the situation down, and then he walks up and goes, "Man, what did you just say?"
Oh, yeah, the guy from the back.
Yeah, the guy comes into the back.
I had those buddies. They would always, when I was around them, they would always start fighting. I'm like, dude, you're on your own. When I got to the NFL, I told them, I'm like, hey, I'm just telling you right now, you guys get in a fight, I'm leaving. I'm not risking a fight just because that girl doesn't want to hook up with you, so you're going to go punch that dude. I'm not doing it. I'm out.
So how were the fights at Princeton there, Ross?
Kind of hilarious because so many of the guys – are like, they went to these prep schools where you can just go up to somebody and say, like, I remember, like, I think I was a freshman. Yeah, I was definitely a freshman. And I bumped into a guy. He was like a junior or a senior. And I said, and I spilled a little bit of beer on him by accident. No, I bumped into him and he spilled a little bit of beer. Uh-huh. And I said, sorry, man. And he said, yeah, you better be sorry, freshman.
Oh, no. Freshman.
And I looked at his buddy and I said, is he serious? And his buddy's like, yeah. I think they all go to, like, these prep schools where they just say – they just, like, talk trash. They're, I'll kick your butt. So I was like, okay. And I just smoked him in the face and walked away. Like, I told the dean of admissions at Princeton two things, right?
What'd you tell him?
I said, number one, you should include me in the process so I could increase certain aspects of the female population on campus, the female student body. And then number two, every kid that gets accepted to Princeton, part of the admissions process should be that you get punched in the face by somebody so that you know, number one, what that feels like, and number two, you're not really that great. Because everybody thinks they're that great because they get in the – it's like, you're not that great, dude. They picked you. Okay, good. I don't know why they picked you, but they did. Here's a punch in the face. I don't care how rich you are, how smart you are. There are people in the world that will punch you right in the face if you're a jerk. So don't be one.
This is Ross Tucker, Radio.com Sports. So talk about getting punched in the face. The Green Bay Packers might get punched in the face and figure out how great they really are against the Niners here on Sunday night.
Can't wait to watch it. I'm so excited for it. So glad they flexed it, by the way, because that would have been garbage if the Patriots, Cowboys, and Niners, Packers were both going on at the same time. That would have been awful. You know, then you have to split between those games. They did this exactly right. So we can do Eagles, Seahawks early, then Packers, Cowboys. I'm sorry, then Cowboys, Patriots, then Packers, Niners. Very, very big test for the Packers' run defense. Really, really looking forward to it. And for their offensive line against the Niners' D-line. I'm looking forward to seeing whether or not, you know, they play like they did last time out in terms of pass pro, or if it's more like that Chargers game where Rodgers was constantly under duress, because they've got some legit dudes rushing the passer in San Francisco. It's a great test. I still think that the Niners are the best team in the NFC, but the Packers have a real chance to do something about that on Sunday night.
Well, right. And you look at the Niners schedule on the way out, I mean, it is just brutal. I mean, I just don't know if they're going to have anybody left at the end of the year.
Well, and that's why, you know, I am a guy, as a former player, you play to win, you play to win, you play to win.
Correct.
I actually think the argument of the Niners against the Seahawks in that Monday night game is actually an interesting one. Because if they had, you know, when they got the ball with a minute 45 and the Seahawks had no timeouts, they could have still tried to move the ball down the field, but been conservative in the way that they did it, you know, like a screen or short passes middle of the field so that the clock kept moving so that they had a chance to win, but the Seahawks had none. Because a tie, if they got a tie against Seattle, they would pretty much have locked up the NFC West. And if they got a tie, they'd still be a game and a half ahead of everybody for the number one seed. And that is just so important. I mean, I'm not saying they should have taken a knee. I'm not even saying it should have been three straight handoffs. I'm just saying, you know, at that point, they should have thought about all of the consequences and called the plays in a manner such that they either won or tied, but that they absolutely did not lose.
Ross, great stuff, man. Can't wait. It's going to be a great game Sunday night, and then we'll talk about it next week and have even more stories of you having fun at Princeton, all right?
I cannot wait. See you, dudes.
Thanks. Take it easy, man. That's Ross Tucker on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. He's our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed.com. Post the job today at Indeed.com/hire. You can catch Ross each weekday on Home and Home, his new show on the Radio.com app. Also, even money on the Radio.com app. And you better you bet, getting you ready for games on Sunday morning. You can just search that on the Radio.com/home.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.